Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today we are going to be talking about the preachers of L.A., and I'm going to give you my take on it. I have been watching the program, I have to say that it is well done in the fact that the production, it's an excellent production team that has put the show together, the director. So I have to say it's well done as far as the production. Now, I don't claim to know the hearts of any of these men. Some of them I never heard of before. I had heard of Noel Jones, and I had heard of Clarence McClendon, but I never knew anything about the other four men, the other four pastors that are on the show. So they were all pretty new to me. I knew absolutely nothing about their ministries. So, but it to me, I don't know if any of you have ever been out to California, but I spent a little bit of time out in California before I was saved, and California's got its own flair, and so it's kind of appropriate, the preachers of L.A., but we kind of get a glimpse, don't we, into the state of the modern church. Now, I'm an old-fashioned Pentecostal, and I believe in holiness. I believe in the, I guess what some people would call the old-fashioned gospel. I like modesty. So I'm a little alarmed by the way some of these pastors, wives, girlfriends, whatever, dress. And I'm going to quote a few scriptures to you about holiness, about being a virtuous woman. So I'm a little embarrassed when they show a little bit too much skin. I don't think it's a good testimony. And I'm wondering what your mama would have thought of all that. So anyway, it's I don't think it is a true reflection at all of most of the Christians that I know, that we're just trying to do something for Jesus. We don't need multi-million-dollar budgets, and we don't need jet airplanes, and we don't need Bentleys. And I don't know how these men got their multi-million dollar homes. I can tell you a little bit about Clarence McClendon and Noel Jones and their prostituting the gospel. I know that both of them do that. They sell miracles for seed faith gifts, and you can see them in action on TBN and some of the other programs, especially when they're doing telethons. So I personally do not have any respect for any kind of a ministry that cannot trust God by faith for their finances, and they claim that this is God's blessing upon my life, but you didn't get it through righteousness and through integrity. So I have no respect for those ministries. And I think that we have to come to the place as Christians where we don't support these men and women that prostitute the gospel. We say enough is enough already. And I think if more of us take a stand and speak out. Now, anybody can have a program on Blog Talk Radio. You can get a program for free. I think they might still be offering free airtime. I think you can get 30 minutes. Of course, you can go on YouTube. That's free. And you can do your part in speaking up for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and trying to portray the gospel the way it should be portrayed and not to do things for filthy lucre. But like I said, I don't know how these men came by their wealth. If they got it from tithes and offerings, then that's not the correct way to get wealthy, because we don't practice tithing in the New Testament. We practice free will giving out of a heart of love. That's the way we're supposed to do things. And so if they have accumulated their wealth through tithing and seed sowing, then God didn't bless them. excuse me, hit the wrong button. That was a work of the flesh. So, but as far as, like I said, the men on the program, I don't know how they got so wealthy. I haven't done enough research into their business background to know what they've done to get the big fancy houses and the cars and the gold jewelry and all that. But I put together a couple clips that I'm going to play. And I want to say hi to Brother Vincent. Hi, Brother Vincent. Black by Color Only. Glad you're here today. God bless you. And I want to just read a little bit, a couple biographies about the men. We have Bishop Clarence McClendon. Now, Clarence claims that he's been preaching since he was 15. And he was married before to Tamara McClendon. They had a 16-year marriage, and he divorced her. And I think a week after he divorced his wife, he married the present wife, Priscilla Delgado. And his ex-wife, Tamara, has posted, I guess, some articles or has given her testimony about the situation that she had with Clarence. It was alleged that he said he was supposed to marry this woman. I don't think so. I think if you're married to somebody, God doesn't tell you to marry somebody else. That sounds like full-on deception. But you can see that that's the road that most of these teachers and preachers will go down. They'll actually become so deceived that they practice immorality, they get divorces, and because when you don't obey God, when you have a Bible, you're responsible for reading it. You are responsible for reading it, and they are responsible for reading it. But they read it, but they don't read all of it. So they kind of. Now, I'm not saying all of them, because I haven't. So far, I've only heard sermons, and I was listening to Ron Gibson, some of his sermons this morning, and I have listened to Clarence McClendon, and I have listened to Noel Jones, so I am familiar with their sermons. I am not familiar at all with the sermons of Wayne Chaney and Pastor Haslip and Dietrich Haddon. And I haven't listened to their sermons, so that would have to be another program. But anyway, that's a little background of Clarence McClendon, and he also left the Foursquare Ministries on claims of racism. So I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, you can see he has made quite a lavish lifestyle for himself, and I do not respect the way that he has acquired his wealth. I'm not against preachers earning a living from the ministry. I'm not opposed to them being paid. I'm not opposed to somebody selling a book or a video. It takes work to write a book, so I think if you work, you should be paid. And but I am opposed to selling miracles for money. And that seems to be one of the biggest ways that Clarence McClendon earns his living. Then we have Bishop Noel Jones. And Bishop Jones pastors a church there in Los Angeles. And he claims that you know, he's been single, I don't know, 20 years, or he's divorced. And in 2012, he fathered a child with the X Factor finalist Stacey Francis. So his credibility is, like, please. If you're going to stand up there and pastor a church of thousands of people, do you think that you can practice a little temperance? And you're supposed to be an example to the people in your congregation. So what kind of an example is that, where you run off and you father a child? And I think she was still married at the time that they had this baby. I don't know. There's something big time wrong there, too. But, of course, Noel Jones practices the seed faith tithing gospel. And so he has enriched himself in that way. Whether or not he has any other sources of income, I don't know. He might be a businessman. And he, I think on the program, he is a partner with his girlfriend in a restaurant. So he might have some other businesses, and he might have some other ways of earning a living, and, you know, that's okay. But don't try to con people out of their money with these tithing doctrines and these seed faith doctrines that are not biblical. So then we have Dietrich Haddon, and I never heard of him before this program came on the air. Dietrich was married for 15 years, and he got a divorce, and then he went on to father a child with his now wife, and I think he pastored a church, too. Now, it looks like he's going to go back into the ministry, and or he is in the ministry, but to go back to pastoring. And so that's a little bit of his background. I think on the program, he has made a few good points, and then he's made some really out there and outer space points, too. But it kind of goes along with the whole worldly deception that we see today where the church has become so much like the world that we can't tell the difference of who's saved and who isn't saved, and we're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like the world. And so anyway, I'll be playing a few clips so you'll get to hear some of the things. Then we have Ron Gibson, and he was a drug addict before he got saved. He was a member of a gang there, and he pastors a church there. I've listened to a few of his sermons this morning, and I do have a clip on about his teaching on tithing, which is way out there. A clip of him on the news defending his car collection. But like I said, I don't know how he got his money. He may be in business, but he's way out there when he teaches on tithing. He doesn't know what the heck he's talking about, I'll tell you. And then there's Wayne Chaney, and I never heard of him. And his wife, you know, Myesha, she looks like a very nice girl, but I wish she would cover up because it's embarrassing. It makes me embarrassed. But anyway, I'm going to play a few clips. Pastor Jay Hayslip. Now, he was a skateboarder, a skateboard champion. He seems to be down to earth. I've never listened to his sermons, and I have to go back and I have to listen to him. I don't understand all the tattoos. If he got those tattoos before he got saved, okay, I can understand that. But the Bible does say that we're not supposed to tattoo our body. So, I don't know. But anyway, I need to do more checking into exactly, you know, where he's at with his doctrine. I don't know. So, like I said, that will be for another program. But anyway, I'm going to go to playing a few of these clips. So one of these clips now from Clarence McClendon, and I think that Clarence, you've been drinking too much Kool-Aid over there, especially when he goes to visit Noel Jones. Now, these guys call themselves bishop, and I guess Noel Jones must be the archbishop. So here's a clip, and listen carefully, of Clarence going over to visit Noel and the title he gave to Noel.
Bishop, your grace.
How are you doing, man?
I'm strong, man. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good.
You're looking good.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
What did you drive?
You know, L.A. traffic.
Yeah, it was rough, huh?
Yeah, man, you know how it is.
Let's sit over there.
I'm following you.
Yeah, this way we won't have to do too many steps.
I appreciate that.
I gotta try your game of pool sometime, though.
Oh, you know, now, anytime a brother says, I gotta try your game of pool, that means he's a shark. So
I don't know. Some of the guys come and take me out. I heard this little thing, just a little thing happened between you and Dietrich, and I wasn't there, so I've heard, I gotta hear it straight from you.
We don't know each other, so, you know, we're sitting down and talking, and
if you want my ministry, then you need what I bring.
That says that your anointing don't flow unless you have your team.
No, son, it doesn't say that.
When God anointed you, you didn't have an entourage.
You know, I got nothing but love for Dietrich. I can debate, discuss the nuances of Scripture with anyone, and we don't have to agree. But, you know, when a brother starts telling me about my assignment, and a guy doesn't know me,
how's he to get to your assignment?
Tell me about, you know, how I should do what I do. When
a discussion gets to the point where people who really don't know me begin to articulate to me how I should do my ministry, it went to a place where we no longer had ground to talk to each other.
I just gotten in from the airport. I had my team with me. I'm like, okay.
What, did the team bother him?
I don't know. But the fact that you see me with guys doesn't mean the ministry...
That there's a burden on anybody.
It's never that way. And that's the way I've set it up.
I actually run my road out of whatever honorarium I receive. That's where Brian is covered.
The guys I bring with me, my ministry pays for them.
I can see now. Well, I can see where he had it wrong.
But I had to leave. So
when you got up to leave, right, he figures now you're getting up to make another move.
Yeah.
You weren't into it that
strong. And he's thinking, I'm stepping. You know, but
a lot of instinctive reactions. You know, but I guess we still have some street in us. You're further removed.
That's funny. The whole dynamic of this conversation, you know, it was just, it went places.
Maybe we get together and work on this reconciliation with you and Patrick if it's that significant. Yeah.
We're not going to do that. So
when you, it might be necessary for him.
Here's the thing, and like, I don't know Dietrich. You know, what he does very well.
Sometimes the conversation is essential between brothers just for an understanding.
Now, I don't know if you caught it, but when Clarence rings the doorbell, Noel Jones opens the door and he says, "Bishop," and Clarence says, "Your Grace." Clarence, you've been drinking too much Kool-Aid over there. Give me a break, please. And these guys don't even bat an eye. Please. You're just Noel, and you're just Clarence. That's all you are. You're not Bishop and Your Grace. And wow, crazy. But they're talking about a little, they had this man cave where they all went and they were trying to get to know each other, I guess, and talking. And so then Dietrich Haddon confronts Clarence McClendon. And some of the things he was saying were right on. You know, you couldn't disagree with him. But, you know, Clarence, he got all upset, like, how dare anybody question me? And he gets up and he storms out, you know, acts like a baby. But anyway, another funny thing I saw that when Clarence, now his elders, I guess, and whatever, and his bodyguards or whatever, they're all sitting in a room. And then Clarence comes into the room, and they all stand up. Excuse me, please. And then when he comes in, then he tells them, okay, you can sit down. Oh, too much. Anyway, here's the meltdown, Clarence and Dietrich.
And, you know, for those musicians, we all have a problem with us asking for honorariums to come minister. Churches across the country can't afford the honorariums that we're asking for. I mean, they try to label us as prosperity preachers. It breaks my heart when people see your glory and don't understand your story. Know nothing about you.
Well, the majority of most pastors are entrepreneurial anyway.
Right.
Abraham gave God more than one avenue to be able to provide for him. So he wasn't limited to one stream of resources.
I think that's what they need to know, right? Everyone assumes that it's coming from the church on the backs of the people, but there are multiple streams for most people in ministry.
Y'all still haven't answered my question.
What was that question?
I got your question.
I'm telling you what people are saying.
The question is, should you charge a fee for the gospel? That's what they're asking.
Answer that for us, Bishop McClendon.
Should we charge a fee for the gospel?
Would Jesus have charged a fee?
Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. I don't request an honorary. I ask them, what is it that you have set aside for the man of God or for the ministry? Because I don't come alone. Because of how God uses us in miracles and healings, I have to have people with me. I have to have psalms. So I travel with four or five people.
So if somebody say, we don't have any budget, we just want you to come, Bishop, why don't you come alone? We don't want you a musician. We don't want you as people.
Well, then you don't want me. If you want my ministry, you need what I bring.
And that says that your anointing don't flow unless you have your team with you. Jesus didn't. He had his disciples.
No, it doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that. That's a rough thing to say.
Here's the point.
Just come and ask you. Give him 30 seconds.
My men know how I flow. They know how the anointing flows through me. So I need men around me who will help that anointing flow uninterrupted, because somebody's healing depends on it.
Man, bottom line,
this is a business decision.
It's all business. In business, be men.
You can make adjustments to accommodate smaller churches that want to experience your ministry.
If the anointing is on you, you do not need an entourage. And that is the problem. It's become a big hoopla. Jesus, hold on, let me. You got on me for cutting you off.
Just qualify entourage.
You got on me. Now you're going to turn around and cut me off. Now listen to this. Listen to what I'm saying. Is it wrong for you, Pastor Jay, to have that? It's not wrong. Okay.
But that doesn't mean everybody has to do it.
Precisely.
There are times when you have to adjust your situation to accommodate the needs of the people. We got to come away from all this stuff, man, and get back to the basics of what ministry is. When God anointed you, you didn't have an entourage. No, you didn't.
Give me a whistle.
You didn't have nobody to pay. You had you and your voice and a word from the Lord. That's why we're in a dilemma we're in right now in the church. Coming up.
Now you're going to disrespect me.
One of them would have said, hey, you know what? You don't agree? But these brothers almost ended up at a fight.
If somebody comes and asks me, I want you to come speak at my men's fellowship. I may not be the guy, just because you're asking me.
You're always the guy to come because you have a word, and God has anointed you for the people.
No, sir. No, whatever I have is for people when Jesus directs me to go.
But he always, when he called you, he directed you.
No, sir.
Matter of fact, the first thing he told you to do is go.
You need to read your Bible, young man.
You're telling me, first of all, I'm not as young as you think I am. Okay. Number two, I know my words.
All right. Neither are you as intelligent as I thought you were.
Now you're going to disrespect me, huh?
No, I'm not going to disrespect you. But when you are speaking to someone who has knowledge of the Scripture and you are speaking erroneously, you need to listen.
Okay, so you're telling me I don't know the Scripture?
No.
You're disrespecting me.
I know he's not disrespecting
you. That's exactly why I didn't want to do this, so I'm done with this.
Bishop, come back.
You are wrong. Don't disrespect me now. I don't care who you are. Just downright talking that way. Who made you God?
Well, the Bishop of Clinton, don't. He left?
I'm not going to let nobody disrespect me now.
I'm done with this.
This season.
Well, there's your man of God. I mean, give me a break. What a baby. And notice how he puts Dietrich down. He calls him son. And Dietrich must be as old as he is. And then he tells him he's not intelligent. All he was doing was bringing up some points which were true. Like you said, and this is going to happen more and more. These preachers they're not going to get as many invitations as they once had because people just don't have the money to give them that they request. And that is one big fat lie. That he doesn't go only for the honorariums. He's not going to go anywhere where he's going to go just for an offering and not know what they're going to give him. He didn't get that $5 million or $6 million house going by faith, trust me. So, Clarence, grow up, please. You need to grow up. And he doesn't know the Bible himself. He tells Dietrich Haddon that, how dare you question me. I know the Bible. No, you don't know the Bible because you never read it. If you read it, you wouldn't be teaching those false teachings that you're teaching and calling yourself bishop and wearing a funny priest collar and the rest of it. So it's a big religious facade. And anyway, that was really interesting. And, Clarence... he says he's not going back there anymore. Well, he doesn't like to be questioned. He doesn't like to be challenged. But we should be able to answer for the things that we believe and the things that we teach. If somebody wants to bring something up about what I'm teaching, they can do it. I allow comments on my YouTube page. Now, I don't like cursing and foul language and sexual innuendos. I do delete those, but they could comment if they don't like something I'm saying. But most of the time, the comments that I get, they can't back it up with scripture. Most of the comments that we get when we try to expose false teachers are, you don't have any love, or you're judging. And so when the Bible clearly tells us to expose a heretic, to admonish them, to strive for the truth of the gospel. So, but most of the time we don't get people really coming back with the scriptures to counter what we're saying, because they're not there. I try to present the truth as I know it from reading the Bible and searching the scriptures for over 30 years. I don't claim to know everything. I don't. But clearly, Clarence McClendon is not teachable. He acts like an overgrown baby, and that's evident. Puffed up with his own importance. But also, then we have a few clips here with Ron Gibson and his wife, and they take out Dietrich Head and his girlfriend, who was the girlfriend at the time, and then, of course, they had a baby together. But they do get married on the program. And Ron asked them if they've been shacking. So here's that clip.
Step into marriage. Do it again for you and do it for the first time for you. It's like they are so sweet and they have so much beauty before them.
Okay, that's good.
But it's sort of like we that's wanted good. To make sure it's right.
I'm not here to sing your praises as much as she but, is. I already told y'all.
Don't call me off.
Okay, but how long are you going to be, babe? Because you're not ready to eat and all that good stuff. I'm sorry, but you know.
Because you've been talking a long time.
She's there to soften the blow. You know, we've been married 31 years. So I know we look young. She looks 31.
Yes, she does.
But we've been doing this.
So sweet.
This is my high school sweetheart.
So sweet.
High school from South Central, Centennial.
All right, Cynthia.
We met in the senior square.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought, you know, that he was really rough, kind of rugged.
Gangster.
Good. But do you know what? When we talked that day, I said, well, I had one set image in my mind because what I saw, but his heart, you know, it was beautiful.
Yes, that's good.
How did you do that? How did y'all keep that together for 30? You know, that's a miracle within itself.
That's a good question, Dietrich. How did we do that? You know how I did it? I followed God's blueprint for marriage, which is the Word of God.
Well, Pastor Ron,
yeah.
I followed God's blueprint for marriage, and the first year I got married, my marriage was turned upside down.
Okay, how was it? You don't have to answer that right now. But I'm sure Dominique had the same question in your mind. How was it turned upside down?
Well, Dominique knows. She knows.
You said you followed God's blueprint?
She knows everything about me.
But
right now.
Dietrich, yeah. It's all about you, but it's all about her, too. Marriage is not 50-50.
Right.
Marriage is 100% you giving your all and 100% Dominique giving her all. It's all about trust between you all. And I just want to make sure you have the proper mentoring. I was always taught by marriage counselors that a shaky, suspect engagement is indicative of a shaky and suspect marriage.
I'm confused. Okay. A shaky, sneaky
okay, let me be
engagement.
Clear.
I
say
sneaky.
You didn't say sneaky.
I said, what did you say?
Well, it could be sneaky.
A shaky
engagement is indicative of a shaky marriage.
Right.
What's shaky about an engagement?
I don't know if it is shaky because this is the question.
How could an engagement be shaky?
Okay, that's a good question. Let me answer since you got the squeeze on me.
That's why I'm kind of against pastoral counseling from pastors,
uh-huh.
because they always come from a religious, Bible, churchy way.
Yes.
I need somebody. I know the Word.
Right.
You know, I have a doctorate of divinity
in
Bible college. I know the Bible. I know the order. The
Bible's called the Book of Life because it speaks to us.
Okay. Oh, hold on. Oh, no. You want to talk to me about this? You want to talk to me about this?
That's all I'm here, my brother.
It's the blueprint.
There's some other things that we need to learn outside of that Bible.
That's
like what?
True.
I'm talking about marriage.
No, I'm not talking about marriage. Now, see, I come along, I tell you what I've been through. That's the only way I can overcome is that I tell
now,
you.
Now, wait a minute, You two.
I'm calm. No, you calm down. No, I'm fine.
The question is, well,
you have.
Number one,
you've laid the ground.
Are you guys shacking? Coming up on Preachers of L.A.
What does shacking have to do with anything? You gonna let him convince you that shacking is not Bible?
So your mom was here too, right?
Yeah, my mom was here.
What do you think she thinks about me?
You know, I don't get Dietrich Haddon. I don't get him yet. What's he talking about? I have a doctorate of divinity. I know the Bible. Okay, that doesn't mean anything just because you have a doctorate of divinity that you know the Bible. Like I said, I haven't listened to any of his sermons, so I can just tell you what I've heard him say on the program. And some of the things, yeah, it's a little shaky. He does say that he's sorry for what he did. But then it's kind of a gray area. I don't know what him and his fiance were doing from the time that they had this baby until the time they got married. But, of course, we know that the Bible says that we are not to have sex outside of marriage, that we are to wait until we're married to have any kind of sexual relationships. I mean, you know, it's better not to do anything at all. Why should people sit and neck and get into situations that can cause you to sin? And you may be sorry for it later. You know, it doesn't take much. The flesh is willing. I mean, the flesh is weak. And it doesn't take too much for somebody to backslide and to wind up in a situation where they wouldn't have been if they had controlled themselves. So, you know, and I noticed that, you know, Dietrich has a bad temper. So when his girlfriend tries to calm him down because he gets mad at Ron Gibson for bringing up the shacking, when she's trying to calm him down, he's telling her, well, now you calm down. So there's going to be some fighting and arguing over there at that house. Sometimes it's not a good way to enter into marriage because you had a baby or because you've been sleeping together and then you decide to get married. You don't really know the person. You have to get to know somebody as a friend if you're going to get married. But if you start getting in the flesh, you're going to know that person in the flesh. And you're going to overlook a lot of things because you have entered into a physical relationship that you should have never entered into before you got married. So anyway, here's part two of the shacking comment.
But I'm sick of y'all. I'm sick of y'all bishops preaching this stuff that's not in the Bible.
I just asked a simple question.
Where do you find shacking in the Word of God?
That's a good question. Let me answer it.
Sinners, unbelievers, shack. Christian men, they marry. What does shacking have to do with anything? You gonna let him convince you that shacking is not Bible?
Maybe some people don't understand what shacking means. That is old school phrase theology, but it means two people who are not married living together as married couple.
That thinking, that talking, that preaching, that kind of stuff, that's the reason why I married that girl the first time. That right there. Just because you are a preacher it doesn't mean you know everything and you are the be all end all. Because I thought we were coming to have a nice, decent, you know, dinner where we get to know each other and not probe into each other's business.
He doesn't believe me, but he was a monster when I met him. Very, very
hard.
Mad, angry. You mentioned it like he was, I'm like, okay, let's move on.
That's how she helped me.
I can see something beyond all that
care. It was off track.
It was off track. And I don't want him to
loosen up.
Yeah, push past. I was like, it's done.
Now she's helping you get on track.
And I love where I am because I'm a different person than I was.
Misfortune was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Now I'm better.
Yes, sir.
I'm ready for her.
31 years of marriage is not been a flowery bed.
That's what I want to hear.
You understand what I'm
That's
saying?
That's what I want to hear.
And we go to marriage counseling.
Oh, yeah.
I just had counseling Friday, okay? Because I got a lot that I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure I keep the bubble in the middle. I stay balanced.
See, now we can talk.
And let's, we believe
let's
in
talk. Now we can talk.
That's why we're here. I want to be you all's mentors. I've been married 31 years, bro. I'm loving my wife. And this anointing is not just on my marriage. This anointing is on my life.
Yeah. So I can submit to that. I'll be honored to be mentored by you when it comes to my marriage. I'm impressed by what I see and knowing what you've gone through and you guys have been together all this time. That's amazing to me.
This dinner, I want to celebrate this dinner on behalf of your comeback. Because you're not letting your setback cause you to sit back, but you're preparing for a comeback.
Right.
And it's going to be off the chisel. My nizzle, that's my chisel.
He says, Dietrich, he says, where's shacking in the Bible? Well, the Bible doesn't say shacking, but the Bible does talk about fornication. Now, some of the modern translations don't have that word in it. I noticed that when I was looking up the word virtuous this morning, some of the Bible translations don't have that word in it. They don't have the word modest in it. So you wonder why, then, we don't see these women practicing modesty. Well, if it's not in your Bible, then how would you know that you're supposed to be modest? Well, you should know it. Well, yeah, you should know it even without that word being there. Of course, they take that word out of some of the modern translations. So then people can rationalize and say, well, you know, that's not in there. Well, he says, like he says, I have a doctor of divinity. I know the Bible, but yet he doesn't know that the word fornication is in the Bible, that you're not supposed to fornicate before you get married. And he blames that people taking the Bible and pastors using the Bible for his mistake that he made getting married the first time. Well, I don't know. I don't know the situation there, but here I have a comment. Coming now. This comment was kind of shocking to me, coming from Dietrich's girlfriend. So here's this comment.
Okay, go wipe it on me.
You know, like that Proverbs 31 woman says, she knows that her merchandise is good.
She's gonna start preaching now.
I believe your merchandise is good.
I'm going to say this to you like I would say to one of my daughters at the church.
Yes.
Don't wait too much longer.
You know, this is really not a Levette's business. I just really wish she would stop it.
In all honesty, I respect that.
Oh, but at the end of the day, here's what it is. There's no marriage coming around the corner.
So are you happy being unmarried?
I'm happy with being Loretta. But I do love him as my friend. And if it goes any further than that, I would be happier.
Well, okay.
That's interesting. We'll be praying about that.
Yeah, keep praying. Keep praying. And fasting.
Thank you guys so much for coming. This was amazing. It was beyond what I think I expected.
Beautiful.
All unique. All special.
Uh-huh.
All lovely. Thank you for your hearts. We should hug.
For you. Lord.
The good tea party.
Yes.
Oh, it was nice.
Thank you for
coming. Thank you for having me. I have a motherly instinct and a motherly spirit.
Love you all.
Before Dominique leaves, I just want to give her just a couple of words of wisdom.
Your generation thinks it's old school, but it's Bible that you really don't cohabitate without marriage.
feel that we are married because by definition in the Bible it's once a man enters inside of a woman. Well, that's called fornication.
You can't live together unless you're married. That's Bible.
But we're committed to each other.
That is not marriage. And, you know, there's your private opinion. And then it's the word.
Mm-hmm.
When the word speaks, then you're on solid ground.
Sounds like a little bit of deception there. Dominique, you know, she's Dietrich Haddon's girlfriend. She says that, I feel like we are married because it's in the Bible that once a man enters into a woman, they're married. Well, now that is real deception. Yikes. Where do they get this stuff? Oh, please. I don't. What kind of an example is it for an unsaved world to watch this kind of foolishness? Okay, I have to hand it to, I think it's Lavette Gibson for speaking out and calling it fornication. At least she did that. So, but Dominique, I don't know. I don't know whether that girl saved. Strange. But anyway, let's listen to Ron Gibson. He pastors a church there. Now, he is planning on building this multi-million-dollar church building and parking lot and prayer tower. If you go to his website, they have a video up there, and it looks like the project, oh, it could be anywhere from $50 million, maybe more, I don't know, maybe less, but it's I don't get it, I don't get it, but anyway, you could go there and look at it. So I'm going to play a few clips from Ron Gibson, and I want you to hear now his teaching. Let's first listen to his teaching on tithing, and it's way out there.
Separated unto the Lord. Now look at verse 28 of that same chapter. He says, notwithstanding, no devoted thing. Whenever God calls something devoted, it means it is to be set apart for Him. He said, no devoted thing. Joshua chapter 7, verse 11 calls it the accursed thing. But here God is saying, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. This is where Christians miss it. They miss this main ingredient to their success. If the astronauts were to go to the moon in the spaceship and not fly by the instrumentation on their panel, on their deck, but looked out the window and said, we're almost at the moon, I see the Big Dipper, I see the Little Dipper, I see the Milky Way. They don't go to the moon by looking at the stars. They fly by the instrument. If they miss it one increment, they can end up in another hemisphere. The Bible says man does not live by bread alone, in Luke chapter 4, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You cannot just take this principle that I'm teaching you today lightly as a mature Christian and expect to prosper and be successful in life. Here is where many religious people miss it. And I can say this because I was raised in a Pentecostal church all my life. It wasn't until I went to college and started taking it upon myself to study the Word of God and learn the principles of prosperity, was I educated and enlightened enough to share it with you. Not only preach it, but practice what I preach. What I'm telling you all, I'm living it. I'm not telling you all something that's pie in the sky before you die. I'm telling you something sound on the ground while you're still around that you can practice yourself and get the benefits from it. And it's as doesn't matter how old you are. If you can understand what I'm saying, you can be a babysitter and make $20 a week or $20 a night. If you give God, what, 20 cents? $2? $2, that's 10% of 20. If you give God $2, because God is not looking for your money. Understand this. Psalm 50 says the earth is the Lord's. The silver and the gold belongs to Him. God is looking for your obedience. When you tithe, you retrain and redirect your spirit to realize God is your source and not your job. That's the purpose of tithing. God's not trying to take anything from us. He's trying to get us to be obedient because He cannot go against His word. There's a divine order of faith that God abides by Himself. And we got to obey the divine order if we want God to bless us. And the divine order for prosperity and good health and favor is that you put God first with your tithing. So far, it seems like you're with me. Let me give you another scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs, right after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 3. This is going to bless you real good, too. This is what me and my wife practice all of our life. And I'm a multimillionaire. And I'm not boasting on that. But God has blessed Ron Gibson. And I'm ready to become a billionaire for the kingdom's sake. So I can expand the kingdom of God. The only reason I want to be filthy rich is so I can buy a 747 and load it up with hundreds of Christians so we can fly to third world countries, give them medical supplies and educational supplies, and teach them the principles of faith that we take for granted in the United States. That people in third world countries like Nairobi, Kenya, and Ghana, and the Philippines, and Indonesia, they are hungry and starving to get our teaching material that's 3 years old. Our Christian books that we throw away because they're old. The date says November 2006. They're hungry and thirsting for the material that we get in the United States, and we take it for granted. People in China, if they can get one page out of your Bible, just one page out of your Bible, they'll feel like you gave them $1 million. But that's why the Bible says my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They don't know what they have at their disposal. They don't know the blessings of the Lord that are before us. And sometimes anything you receive lightly, anything you receive too easily, anything you receive too easily, you esteem very lightly. If I make you work for that car, you'll take better care of it. But if I give it to you with no responsibilities and no obligation, you're prone to wreck it, you're prone to not change the oil, you're prone to not clean it. But if I have you work for that car, you're going to put a little bit more pride in the upkeep of that car. I'll give you the United States of America. We have it very easy here. And what God is trying to say, if you want to be successful in your marriage, you want to choose the right mate, you want to be healthy in your body, you want peace in your mind, you wonder why you're living from paycheck to paycheck, you wonder why you can't keep a job, that's not God's will for the child of God. When you belong to God, God is obligated to take care of you. When you are a child of God, God is obligated to supply all your needs. He said it in His word. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Look what it says. And with the first fruits, that's your tithe, of all thy increase. So you see, Pastor Ron, if somebody gives me $10,000, I'm going to pay my tithe. I didn't work for that. Somebody gave it to me. It says increase. It didn't say your job. It says honor Him with all thy increase. And if you do it, it tells you what will happen to you in verse 10. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. Your barns, your bank accounts, your savings accounts. Be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. That's concepts, ideas. Opening up your own businesses. God will give you ideas and concepts, inventions, to prosper and be a blessing to everybody else. Now there's another scripture I want to refer your attention to, and that's Malachi. Did we go there yet? Malachi chapter 3, right before the book of St. Matthew is the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, right before the first book of the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3. You have a lot of Christians they're like pseudo-theologians. They think they know everything. They try to say tithing was under the law. The law came through Moses. But tithing was before the law of Moses because Abraham paid tithes in Genesis chapter 14 to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a high priest. He was a type of Christ. Abraham experienced a Christophany, a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ was born. It blows my mind just like it blows your mind. But in Genesis chapter 14, it talks about how Abraham had just rescued his nephew Lot from the king of Sodom, who had came and confiscated Lot's belongings and took Lot hostage. The Bible says Abraham went and got 318 trained army men of his own household and went and rescued Lot, plundered those people's possessions, and had all the gold and silver. And then as he was coming back from the slaughter, he ran into this priest named Melchizedek, whom the Bible said had no beginning or no ending, had no genealogy. He was a type of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says Abraham discerned that, realized that, and gave him tithes of all that he possessed. So you can't say tithing was under the law. Tithing was before the law. But one thing I can say, God commanded tithing in the Old Testament, but he commended it in the New Testament. And catch this, I'm moving a little fast. What the author, who's the author of the Bible? God. God is the author of the Bible. And what the author does not write, he assumes the reader already knows. So just because he does not command us to tithe in the New Testament, doesn't mean that tithing is done away with. He feels when you grow and mature, then you will automatically know that it rolled over as a principle to prosperity. So he says over in Malachi chapter 3, let's look at verse 6. Since those of you who think that tithing is not a part of the New Testament, God is saying right here quite explicitly, he says in verse 6 of Malachi chapter 3, for I am the Lord. Read those next three words. Ready? Read it. I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Look at verse 7. Even from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances. That's why some of our marriages are not working. That's why some of you young ladies and young men are sick in your body. Quite frankly, that's why some of you are not happy in your marriage. Because you're transgressing the law of God. And then we refuse to retain God in our knowledge. So when you refuse to retain God in your knowledge, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, then God gives you up to lead to your own understanding.
Now, I would call that spiritual abuse. Excuse me. Well, you know, if you want to quote that scripture where God says, I change not, and you want to say, well, tithing's not in the New Testament, but God says he changes not. Well, then why aren't you sacrificing a lamb over there at your church? Excuse me, but, you know, you're messed up. And then telling people that the reason they're sick in their body and they're having trouble in their marriages and whatever is because they're not tithing? Give me a break. First of all, in the Old Testament, tithing was always food. So next time, if you want to go over there to Ron Gibson's church, bring him a bag of groceries. Make sure that their food supply is topped up over there. But tithing was never money. It was never money. Never, never, never. And if you can show me one scripture where it was money, I'll repent. But I've never seen it. So you can take all your titles and all your degrees and everything, but you don't know what you're talking about. And to hold your people hostage, I'm surprised that people don't get up and walk out of there. But that's a form of spiritual abuse to put fear on people. And notice that, you know, Ron says he's a millionaire and he wants to be a billionaire so he can buy a 747 and fly Christians all over the world to help people. Well, they didn't even help people down there in L.A. Has anybody seen some of the sections of L.A. where there's homeless people living all over the street? They didn't help people right there in L.A. They didn't clean up the mess there. So what difference is it going to make that you're a millionaire or you're going to be a billionaire so you can help people? You're not doing enough to help people as it is. So if you can't, all those churches that are there in L.A., all those multi-million dollar ministries, and some sections of L.A. are in the state they're in? What kind of a testimony is that? So that you know, he's believed a lie, and it sounds like Fred Price or some of those teachers where, yeah, we have to have money so we can do more to help people. Well, I don't see it. I know he's got a school, Ron Gibson, and I think he has a boys' home or something. And
separated unto the Lord. Now look at verse 28 of that same.
Excuse me, I hit the wrong button again. But I don't see them changing L.A. When we see that there's a reformation in the church first, how can we expect to really help to change people's lives when we're not living the gospel the way it should be lived? When we're not living by faith and trusting God to meet our needs according to his riches and glory without trying to get our hands on somebody's bank account to enrich ourselves. That's not faith, and that's not the gospel. So Ron Gibson, he should be ashamed of himself. But anyway, so then let's hear Ron talk about defending having a Bentley.
Lord Jesus, speak to my heart.
You know every idiot
and change my life
and deliver them out of all
So the show takes a very candid and up-close look at the lives of six prominent pastors as they step away from the pulpit for a moment. It has many people watching and talking, and in fact, the series premiere pulled in more than 1 million viewers. That's the strongest Wednesday premiere ever for Oxygen. But the show, of course, has some controversy. It's reignited the debate over preachers and their wealth.
There is no secret what God can do. You see my bling. You see my Bentley and you see my glory, but you don't know my story.
Well, the man you just heard from joins me now. Good morning to Bishop Ron Gibson. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Victor. Thank you very much.
So, of course, there are some people who see that and hear that. They have a problem with church leaders having a lot of wealth. Even the Pope is talking about this and demonstrating it by taking a less grandiose lifestyle. He's now in the Prius, calling the people of the Catholic Church to be a poor church for the poor. As a minister of the gospel, how do you balance having wealth and helping the poor?
Well, I balance it. I look at it from a biblical perspective. The covenant that God had with Abraham, he was blessing Abraham to be a blessing and not to hoard the blessing upon himself. He blessed him to be a blessing to the less fortunate. And so I look at it from the same perspective that that God blessed Abraham. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. And I can't do that. I can't go to the airport and say, hey, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, give me a ticket, I got to go to Africa and build some wells, or to the Dominican Republic and build some churches. No, it costs money to get on the airport, so preachers were to be balanced and not extravagant, but yet we must have the means, and money is a medium of exchange whereby we can make that happen.
Balance and not extravagance, but you just talked about your Bentley. A Benz would do it, right?
A Benz, yes, and I do have a Benz.
And
Benz
a Bentley,
would do it,
okay.
Yes, I have a Benz and a Bentley. Yes, I like both of those cars. I was blessed. I've been pastoring 26 years, you know, and
yeah.
I founded our church, and we have a school. We have two schools. We have preschool. We have an elementary school. We have a boys' home. We're building, we're in partnership with a developer, building 1,200 homes, two parks. There's a plethora of things. It's a large vision that God has given us, so that's going to take money to finance the kingdom of God.
That's true, but you just said that you live by the philosophy of God's covenant with Abraham and not to hoard. Is this not hoarding your Bentley and your Benz and that beautiful home we saw and all we'll see this season on the show?
Well, I don't know what your definition of hoarding is. If I had several Bentleys, it probably would be, but I can only drive one Bentley at a time, and my Bentley is a 2007 with 85,000 miles, so you guys are seeing me right now, but I've accumulated my, if you want to call it, wealth over the years.
You're not complaining about having a 2007 Bentley with 85,000 miles and saying that I'm just a little demure passenger.
Not at all. Okay. Not complaining at all, but to answer your question, Vic, you said, is it hoarding?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's hoarding. I'm just saying I bought that Bentley back in 2007.
Keep those tithes and offerings coming in. Now, come on. Give me a break. Now, I don't care personally if they have a Bentley. I don't care if they have a Mercedes. I really don't care, as long as they got it, honestly. But if you get it by threatening people if they don't tithe, they're going to get sick, they're going to get divorced and making up things just to get people to pay you to stand up there and quote the word. No. No, that's right, Brother Vincent. The kingdom of God doesn't need to be financed. I'll tell you what, we really need to stop supporting these people. That's one of the main reasons I do my program, is to wake people up to stop sending these people money so that they can go out of business. And maybe some of them can come out of the fog that they're in, and the fog that they keep other people in with this these false teachings. You see, the best way to get the gospel out is really the way it worked for us. How did you get saved? I got saved by somebody witnessing to me. I didn't get saved through Christian television or listening to rock music, I got saved because I went over to someone's home, a Christian couple, and they witnessed to me. It didn't cost any money. They didn't have to have $1 million television ministry. They just witnessed to me. And that's the best way to get the gospel out, is for you to tell somebody, and then that person gets saved, and then they tell somebody. And maybe if we had more personal evangelism, these people would realize that we don't really need them so much. If you're not going to preach the gospel honestly and out of a pure heart, then don't bother. Just go away. Go away. Please, go away. So, anyway, let's listen to a few more clips. Now, here's Ron Gibson. Now, I was telling you about, they have a plan to build this big complex. Oh, it's gorgeous. And, you don't really need that. But, the one lady in the church says, look, poor pastor, he has to preach 4 or 5 times on a Sunday. He must be awfully tired. So they have to have this multi-million dollar complex there because poor pastor must be tired. And, all those people sleeping on the street there in L.A. and people that don't have food. And so what? We have to have this complex here.
Facility attracts more people. It attracts more people, so we can even reach the masses even more. We can get more people under that word and change, and essentially change more lives.
The church is growing and it's thriving, and we take in leaders every Sunday. I don't believe there's Sunday that we don't recruit new people. So we definitely need a larger facility. Our pastor is probably tired with so many services that he has to preach at.
We don't want anyone turned away from the ministry. So we need to have a bigger facility to accommodate all the people that are going to come and be a part of this church.
I'm so excited to be your pastor. I think one of the highest callings in the world is to be an under-shepherd to the people of God. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. But I would like to paraphrase that particular scripture and give you Ron Gibson's paraphrase version. Without the people, the vision perishes. And God is called us to do great things, and so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. God has inspired us with a great vision here at Life Church to not only build the church, but to build a community. We're literally building broken lives. And with your help, we can make this dream become a reality. Nehemiah 4:6 says, and so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, because the people had a mind to work. I believe that teamwork makes the dream work, and we are better together. We've come this far by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But guess what? I can see our future, and we look so much better in our future than we look now. So come and walk with me into the future, and let's see the great things that God has in store for us.
God is doing great things at Life Church of God in Christ, and this exciting next step.
Well, anyway, it's a sad state of affairs, you know. I'll be watching the episodes, and I'll be keeping you posted, because I'm waiting, really. I'm waiting for a at least one episode where they really present the gospel, where they take more time presenting the gospel than they do on a lot of the foolishness that they seem to spend time on. And I'm waiting for that real heartfelt gospel presentation. And I want to see the name of Jesus Christ lifted up more. If you're going to do a program, Preachers of LA or Preachers of anybody, let's preach. And let's preach the truth with a pure heart, because, look, this is no joke. Either we believe that, you know, hell is a real place, and we believe that people really go there that don't accept Jesus Christ, then we have to take this thing seriously. It's not a soap opera or a comedy hour or for real. People's lives are at stake. Their children's lives are at stake. Their eternal security is at stake. So what we do because we love people enough to tell them the truth. And maybe sometimes the truth does hurt, but the truth is always good, always good. Now, it was the truth that helped me to get my life back on track. 1981, when someone told me the truth, and I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes, Brother Vincent, that is very true, that these kind of things and these kind of programs really do hurt the body of Christ, because I think that maybe for the most part, because we're not seen so much, we don't have television ministries, we're visible on the internet, but people don't really get to see real Christians. Now, of course, none of us are perfect. We realize that. But to see people that really do love God, and we don't have any ulterior motive for preaching the gospel, except that we really want to preach the gospel because we want people to
attract more people.
I keep hitting those buttons, but that's the most important thing, is to tell people the truth that Jesus Christ is a real person. He walked on the earth. He died on the cross for our sins, so we wouldn't have to die in our sins. He was resurrected, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. Truly, this world is not our home. whatever we accumulate in this life, we can't take with us. We'll leave it behind for people to be fighting over when we leave. So, however God chooses to bless us in this life, I'm grateful for all my blessings. And we have a loving Heavenly Father that loved us enough to send His Son. And those of us that know Him, we know Jesus Christ is real. We know what He's done for us. Nobody can do what Jesus did in our lives to take us. Some of us were on drugs. Some of us were alcoholics. Some of us were immoral. And how Jesus Christ can take a life and change it in an instant. And you know you're changed. You know you're different. We know right from wrong. And so I question many of these men that are a part of this program. You should know better if you claim the name of Jesus and you claim to have been born again, then we're supposed to know better, because the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us when we're born again. And we become righteous, and the only reason we become righteous is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But I would like to see more programs, and I believe television is a good way to get the gospel out, but not the way the gospel is being presented on television for the most part. It's an abomination. But hopefully, maybe sometime, somewhere, there will be a real Christian television station with a real heart for the gospel, and to present the gospel in truth, to present Bible teachers that love the truth. This is what I want to see. I want to see churches where people can go to church, can hear the word, can have fellowship without somebody beating them over the head. Money. And that it's all about money, and it's all about the pastor's vision, and it's all about the building program. And no, it's not. It's about building people. And, they could never pay for these buildings. They go millions of dollars into debt to pay for these building programs. They take out huge mortgages, and then they're forever harassing people that come there every week for money to fulfill their vision. Well, I'm not telling you about my vision. I'm not telling you what I need for my life, because that's between me and God. I don't want people coming here and having to hear about my problems. And these guys, they make their own problems. And then they want you to fix it. Well, those days have to end, you know. I think those days really have to end. So I encourage any of my listeners, look, get a program on YouTube. Get a program on Blog Talk Radio. Do what you can on a Facebook page or whatever to get people to listen to what you have to say as far as preaching the gospel with integrity. And that's the most important thing. That's what we want people to see. That's the gospel we want people to hear. But, of course, ultimately, we're all responsible. If you have a Bible and everybody in this country has a Bible, you are responsible for reading it. And you then become responsible for what you read. So no man can lead you astray if you take the time to read the Word of God and to stay strong in the Word. It's amazing how the Word of God gets into our hearts and it changes us. And like the Bible says, we had a stony heart before, and then we have a soft heart towards the things of God. So let no man deceive you. you have no one to blame but yourself if you've been deceived. But now is the time for you to come out of the deception. And if you're going to a church where they teach these false doctrines, have a word with the man that calls himself the pastor. Don't be afraid if he's not willing to sit down with you and discuss the Bible, then what's the sense of even being there? I've had so-called pastors like that where they wouldn't sit down with you and discuss the Word of God with you. They were angry, and they wanted to get rid of you if you questioned anything. That's not a true shepherd. That's not a man or a woman of God that will not answer for what they teach or what they believe. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you can ask him to come into your life. Jesus said that you must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Jesus Christ said it. And if he said it, then it's the truth. You must be born again. You must repent of your sins and believe who Jesus Christ is, that he is God, that he died and he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. He's coming again. He is coming again. No matter what happens in this world, and we see the world collapsing around us, don't we? We see confusion and things that we never thought we were going to see. But when all else fails, the kingdom of God is forever. Jesus is our king. He's a righteous king. He's a righteous judge. And most of all, he loves you. When everybody else turns against you, Jesus Christ will be there for you. He's a real God, a real person, and you can have a relationship with God. So anyway, we hope you enjoyed the program today. And if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at susan@propheticnews.com. You can go to the Blog Talk Radio, our archives. We have every program that we've done. We've been on the air now 4 years. So there's every program there from the time we first went on the air. And you can go to our YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV, and check out our information there. So anyway, we want you all to be blessed. I want to thank everybody that came today. Brother Clifton, Brother Vincent, thank you so much. Don't forget to check out his program, Black by Color Only, on Blog Talk Radio. You will enjoy his program very much. So God bless you all. Let's pray for the preachers of L.A., and I hope that some of them will change and get back to preaching the gospel with truth and integrity. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.